So I'm happy to take questions either on information markets or on organ markets, and we'll just go till when we have to go. Yeah.
Regarding information markets, back when you made the point that they quite often provide very accurate information about it, back when the NASDAQ was trading at its all-time high, 5,000 or whatever it was, what information was this providing and how accurate was it?
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Could you repeat the question?
Yes, I'll repeat the question. The question is the counterexample. What if we saw NASDAQ, you know, reached huge heights, looks quite plausibly like a bubble. So doesn't this show that information markets, there are some problems? Indeed, I think it does. I think that it is certainly possible for markets to become involved in manias when people buy on the expectation or the hope that other people are going to buy. Right? It's like a Ponzi game, okay? Or I should say it's like Social Security. Right? But it's like a Ponzi game. So people will buy thinking that, well, if only the price goes up, I'll have a chance to sell. I think that's possible. I think sometimes that happens. No institution is perfect, even markets, especially when you're dealing with human beings. The interesting thing about information markets is that it may be possible to design them to actually reduce this possibility. There are things you can do in information markets. For example, you can give more weight to the people who have been very accurate in their own predictions in the past. Okay? You can design it so you simply don't have to take the you don't simply have to take the raw price, but you could use aspects, other parts of information in that market to even improve these predictions. So it's possible, you see. Remember that markets are designed for trade, for exchange. They haven't actually been designed for creating information. That's a byproduct of markets. Okay, they're actually designed for trade and exchange, and the information part is just a useful byproduct. Once we start focusing on information, we might actually be able to design markets which are even better in permanence. Other questions? Yeah.
This reminded me of about 6 months ago, there was one of the Forbes columnists wrote a whole column on we ought to do away with the word, with the phrase foreseeable future. We ought to just do away with it because it's a ridiculous phrase. What does it mean? Who can do this? And so forth. And it just occurred to me, you just found a way to better foresee the future than certainly any individual could.
Right, that is exactly the key. And you see this time and time again. If you look at individual forecasts, they tend to be very poor. You look at the market forecast, the consensus forecast of many individuals tends to be much better than any single individual. It's exactly right. Yeah?
Just move the talk a little. Talk about the first question. I'm not sure, some folks may disagree, I'm not sure that the market's wrong in the sense that in that market we're talking about, there was one more player who had too much power, and we could not read his mind. That was Alan Greenspan. In a sense, it was a jury-rigged market.
Right. That's a good point. The NASDAQ, it's very difficult to say what could have happened in an alternative reality. You know, there are other things that could have happened. It's difficult. Yeah.
I think there was a question. I was just going to finish your point about the NASDAQ there. The reason I think NASDAQ and those markets go to such extremes is that there's no fixed end date and there is always hope. Whereas if I'm betting on Washington Redskins, at the end of the game, I either win or lose. And if the Redskins are losing by wider margins as the game progresses, I'm not going to hope that they're going to come back. I'm going to realize the game's over. Whereas the NASDAQ, if you bet on Microsoft or Cisco Systems or whatever, people, since there is no fixed thing, they don't
think, oh, I'm going to
bounce back, and I'll do my
own thing.
I think it's a psychological
factor.
Yeah.
There doesn't,
in fact, elections
or
things
were
at a fixed time.
That's a good point.
Sure,
go.
Well, that's your idea for an organ club.
Yes.
If your analogy is strategy is common, but I don't see how it follows, because if all the fishermen want to say, okay, part of the club, and they can all fix, and you're back where you were before.
Right, but the problem is that what I suggest is to get into the club, you got to sign your organ donor card. That's the problem. The problem is that not enough people are signing their organ donor cards. And why should they? They get an organ whether they signed it or not. So anyone can fish whether they help stock the lake. So the analogy is that signing your organ donor card, that's like stocking the lake. That's like contributing to the pool of fish. So that's why that's a tragedy of points. Yeah.
You're talking about lakes, or we might extend this to coastal fisheries. There's considerable evidence, the work of Stephen John and others, that such plagues do exist. The Japanese fishery for many years was organized around the little bays, and the fishermen in that area had rights over the fish to a certain distance out to sea. Now, so these were floods, and they enforced a kind of shunning on anybody who exceeded his authority for an outright
monopoly. Yeah.
With some very great success.
Yeah.
The results do exist.
Absolutely.
Imperfect, of course,
but they do exist. Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. Yeah. Way at the back.
I'm not sure how to phrase the question. Would you comment maybe a little bit on efficiency in the market, what the criteria are? As we go forward and people start developing entrepreneurial ideas for developing markets to create information, what should the criteria be?
Right. Well, the typical criteria in a regular market for efficiency is, does it exhaust the gains from trade? Okay. Do we maximize total surplus, the gains from trade? But the criteria for efficiency, I think, in an information market is, does it predict well? Do they stabilize? Do they jump all over the place, or do they quickly come to a consensus? And indeed, this is what you see in, whether it's the Hollywood Stock Exchange or these election markets, you see that prices do predict well, and they're not all over the map. They often do come to an equilibrium point. Other questions? Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Setting up these markets, these information markets, especially for ones open to the public, it's actually quite difficult because you have to go through the government. You got to get permission. So often these markets are illegal because they're thought of as betting markets. The Iowa Stock Exchange got special permission from the I've forgotten the acronym, but anyway, they got special permission to do it. And that, I think, is that's one thing which is holding these markets back, is you need government permission. Now that is probably not true for these internal markets, right? If HP wants to run its own internal market, there's no problem. But as for markets open to the public, there are some government constraints. And the question, I think, an interesting question is, do you need real money? You know, the Hollywood Stock Exchange is probably the best case for something that people find it interesting. You know, there's lots of people who, it's like trivia, there's enough incentive there to predict carefully in order to raise your Hollywood dollars, but the market does seem to be pretty accurate. In other cases, you may need real money.
I think your suggestion about your insurance or your distributed organ or kid organ is still a price. It's just a tiny price. It's a lot. You don't want to know the money price, but it's still a price.
Sure.
It's more of a technical price.
Exactly. That's kind of the key difference, right? Is that, at least in my experience, people who are not willing to say you should be able to buy and sell organs, they are willing to say, oh, no give, no take. That seems fair. Because after all, this is open to the poor just as well as the rich. So it's not a price, it's not a monetary, it's a non-pecuniary price, and it's one which is more equally distributed. Yeah?
I don't want to know the price.
Yeah, well, it's something everyone knows we can afford. Right? Yeah.
For both what I've heard and understand about this Corbin thing, so many objections from probably the left, but I'm not sure, is that, well, it's not fair, you know, that somebody can afford to buy a new kidney, and somebody who else deems it just as bad as they can. How do you answer that?
Well,
with the same thing we find out?
Yeah, I mean, under my suggestion, no give, no take, the fairness issue doesn't come up because anybody can sign their organ donor card. It's not hard. You know, you don't have to be rich to do that. It's no problem. I think it is, that objection can be answered for if you're willing to price markets, if you're willing to use prices as well. And as I said, the paper in the book does a pretty good job, I think, at trying to answer that. But some people are not going to be convinced.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Because the
cost, yeah, sure, that's absolutely right. This is only looking at a big part of the medical problem, you know. And Sure. And so we could have a, you know, talk about, you know, national health care and so forth and so forth, and what we ought to do about that. But one problem at a time. Volume two will deal with that problem. At the back.
Could you also extend, would it be likely that charity organizations and patient organizations, cancer associations, diabetes associations would like to buy the infusion markets so they would have a pool of organs for the members? And so a lot of this could be on a charity basis and we create a huge amount of money.
Yeah, absolutely. That's quite possible. So we don't know what a market for organs in crisis would look like. Could be that the price is really low, right? And if the price is really low, and we know that markets have all kinds of ways of innovation and reducing prices over time and curating through charity and so forth, you know, if we actually did it, it might work out well. The difficulty is getting people over the hump, getting people to try it out. I mean, it's taken years and years. Thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have died. And only now is the American Medical Association saying, well, maybe it's okay to give a few hundred for funeral expenses. You know, that's the difficulty that we run up against. Yeah, sure.
Just a thought. I don't know. If you allow people to buy and sell their organs, wouldn't you raise their incentives to take care of themselves so you lower your medical costs?
Sure.
Not really.
Yeah. That's thinking like an economist. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
How do you account for something to the effect of if somebody is using alcohol, would their liver not be as valuable? Wouldn't have much value. How would you account for something like that if somebody's organs are not worth as much?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. The way I would implement this is I think most people would sign their organ donor cards at the time they got their driver's license. Okay, so pretty early on in their life. For the rest, you would have maybe say a year waiting period, and after that, the issue you're raising, I think, is a real one. But I think if we got rid of the major issue, which is getting people to sign their organ donor cards, then we can let the problem that, you know, some people don't take care of their livers, we can let that problem slide. And maybe their other organs are good, right? You know, so it's an issue. I think if we get rid of the major problem, we can live with some of the imperfections. Yeah. The Hollywood Market, you can just look these up on the web. The Hollywood Market is HSX, Hollywood Stock Exchange. The Iowa Market, I have the URL, but it's a little bit hard to remember, but just go to Google, put in Iowa Political Stock Market, and you'll find it, and it'll tell you how to sign up. I got time for one more question, apparently, here.
If there were to be an information market on voting, do you see a number of problems In that market, there's lobbyists who exchange with the not gaining terms on the stock, rather furthering their cause, really arguing that they are prices, and spending people with more money with
Right. That's the question of cornering the market. Okay? But especially when the market is liquid, when a lot of people are involved, it turns out to be very difficult to corner the market. I mean, after all, people try and do this all the time, and most often, they're unsuccessful. There were markets in German elections, and in fact, some people tried to do this in Germany, and we were able to tell that they were able to do this, but they failed. It turns out that in practice, in 14 years of working on these political stock markets, it turns out that cornering has never successfully occurred. Okay, I'll be here if somebody else wants to talk to me, but thank you.